So as I listened to Doug this morning with his email faux pas or his cut and paste problem, and Mike thinking maybe he'd lost his notes, and this morning when my printer jammed, and I did everything that I always do to fix it, but it didn't work, so I've got my notes here in front of me on this computer. I'm thinking anybody that's going to be up here this morning needs to be careful. There's something going on with the electronics in the air or something. Regardless, I'd like to make little notes in the margins once I print it off. And of course, I don't get an opportunity to do that on the computer. So there may be a couple of delays here this morning while I'm resorting what I have written down. This particular time, sometimes I get started, scrap it, start over again. This is like about the fourth time through here. And first of all, I want to back way up. Thank you for Don. He swapped for me. I was supposed to be out of town last week. But as it turned out, I wouldn't have been able to speak last weekend anyway. We'll get to that in a moment. The problem that I'm having this morning is that I want to talk about, as a tribute to Toby Keith with a catchy little tune, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I, sort of. I want to give you a kind of a current health report and how God helped me, how I may be able to help you, and how you may be able to help each other. For those who are here and not in the know, for our visitors, and I hope I don't make you run screaming scared this morning, I want to thank everyone that reached out through prayer, through visits, through hugs, through cards. That was why I admitted through an announcement, I think it was on Wednesday night, I'm sorry, everything's kind of lost in my recollection right now. That's why I reached out, because I believe in the power of prayer. It worked. Unfortunately, right after I started feeling better from that bout of depression that I've been going through, I picked up Alex's cold. So thanks a lot, Alex. You may have heard him coughing here Wednesday night. Yeah, could have kept him home, Ryan. So that being said, and being a little bit tired, and I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, you know, Grandma says, how are you today? I said, well, between my depression and my cold and being tired, I can't tell if I'm sick or crazy or just tired. The problem with what I have, it's different. If you see someone on crutches, it's quite obvious what their injury is. If they're pushed in a wheelchair, it's quite obvious. See scabs, you see cuts. You can't really see that there's something wrong with me. I'm not saying that I'm looking so perfect and everything that, you know, you look at me and you're so stunned at how well I look that obviously there's nothing wrong. That's not it. But it's inside. I want to discuss that a little bit this morning. While I was looking through different things on depression, and I apparently have had a mild depression for some time. The last 2 or 3 weeks, it became something unbearable. For those of you who may or may not know someone in your life that has depression, and I'm not talking about, you know, a little sadness. We all get sad at times. Real, I guess what I would call chemically imbalanced depression. I found some things that are common that are said to these people, and then I put my little marginal snippy remarks to those too. I wanted to share with you. Just cheer up. It's not that simple. You don't look depressed. Exactly. We just covered that. All you have to do is pretend, and sooner or later you'll get over it. And follow the yellow brick road, click my heels together. There's always someone else worse off than you. I tell myself that all the time. What do you have to be depressed about? Nothing. That doesn't stop whatever's wrong with me, though. You've got so much, you've got no reason to be depressed. Yes, that seems logical. There's no such thing as depression. You want to spend a day in my shoes? It's all in your head, so if you stop thinking that way, you'll be fine. Thank you, Mr. Freud. Most people are as happy as they want to be. Right. I chose to be this way. Life is what you make of it. I guess I'll make lemonade. It's not that bad. I know, it's worse. It's such a beautiful day. I remember when I cared about that. I don't want to have anything to do with you until you're happy again. You're such a true friend. You're attention seeking. No, I'm actually seeking a place to hide. What you need is something to really go wrong in your life to give you perspective. I give up. And what I would have written in the margin earlier was that, and I'm paraphrasing, Lord, let this cup pass from me. However, nevertheless, your will, not my will, be done. This presentation is nowhere near as epic as sacrificing my life for all mankind to go to heaven. But I don't want to do this morning. And that's why it was the fourth or fifth time through. Because I'm not even sure if this is something I should be talking about in front of everyone. I'm not even sure if it's something that will be beneficial. But I hope that it is in the way I'm trying to present it. That one other thing that you could say to a person in my shoes is lean on God and lean on your Christian friends. Now you're on to something. But first, does the Bible even acknowledge that depression exists? Not exactly in a word. We do talk, though, about sadness, despondency, countenance down. There are some pretty good examples of people that sound or act depressed, though. Perhaps Job, when all the things were going wrong in his life. Elijah, when he beat the false prophets of Baal. And fearing Jezebel's revenge, instead of happy, he was weak and afraid. And he said this, 1 Kings chapter 19. He came to a broom brush, Elijah did, sat down underneath it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. What about Jesus? When he heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, Matthew 14:13 says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Even if that's not the same depression that I'm talking about, Jesus was certainly sad what he had heard there. But I think the closest I can come to an example of a person who showed these depression qualities was David. Psalm 38, verses 6 and 8, he writes, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. And then after he had committed adultery, he was depressed about it until he confessed his sin. In Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, he said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I believe that the answer is yes. I believe that it's acknowledged that this does exist. I wanted to give you some quick pointers. If you are suffering from this, avoid being alone, which is the absolute hardest thing for you to do. But force yourself to be with others, even when it's uncomfortable. You know, I came here for half of a service last Sunday. And thank goodness, the first person I talked to was Grandma. And I discussed with people later that I just came right over here and I talked to Grandma. And I was able to just pretend like it was just the two of us in the room. Because it was so hard to be in a room full of people that I love. And then I know each and every one of them would reach out to me if given the opportunity and the knowledge that they needed to. But remember, I wanted to hide. You need to seek help from others. Sing. Sing songs. Sing any song. Certainly sing the songs that you sing here in the church. It can uplift your spirit. Praise and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And lean heavily on the power of God's word. I have some verses. They're uplifting, and they speak for themselves. I'd like to read some of them to you. Psalms 42:5 and Psalm 43:2. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. For you are the God of my strength. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Matthew 28 and 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Parents, siblings, children, friends, neighbors, here are some signs that you need to look out for in the people that you hold dear. These are signs of depression, sadness for most of the day. You can use a little bit of logic here. I understand that, you know, if you lose a loved one, or if your child moves away, or even comes back home, that can kind of make you sad. low energy or fatigue. You just want to draw yourself in. You don't want to do anything. Fortunately for me, the Olympics were on the last couple of weeks. So I got to see a lot of sports that I never would have imagined that I would ever have any time to watch. I don't know if that was fortunate or not. Another sign is loss of interest in your favorite activities. You just don't want to do the things that you know that you love. Feelings of hopelessness and or pessimism. Difficulty concentrating. I hate that part. I couldn't finish a sentence. I couldn't explain myself, even at my doctor's appointment, what was going on. And interestingly enough, a lot of these symptoms, for me, also came when I used to get chronic sinus infections. So I went and visited my doctor. I said, I think I've got a sinus infection. I've got all this stuff going on. She said, but you don't have a sinus infection. There's going to be a little twist to the story here in a little bit, too. Feelings of worthlessness or guilt. Strangely enough, I started apologizing to my wife for things that I did in my childhood. I know it is kind of funny. Sad. But I felt guilty, you know. Just little things that I had done that I knew were wrong, or maybe they weren't wrong, they were just made larger by my problem. Trouble sleeping or sleeping too much? Both? Yeah, exactly. And I can actually have both in the same day. Trouble falling asleep, and once I'm there, I'm gone. You can't wake me up. Significant weight change up or down. And thoughts about suicide or dying. What a battle that is to the person in depression. I didn't think about killing myself. That is so abhorrent to me, so ridiculous. That would never happen. But I didn't care if life went on. And I hope you can hear the distinction there. I didn't want to kill myself. I just didn't care if I was alive. This is the series of things that happened when mine finally broke. I went and visited my doctor. As I said, you don't have a sinus infection. Let's take some blood. All the blood things are normal. Except from, ironically, with my nice tan, low on vitamin D. I'm a little skeptical. She says we can change your meds, we can do the vitamins, but we don't want to do it all at one time, because if you throw everything at it at one time, then you don't know what worked. So I take this little 50,000 IU vitamin D. Wednesday night? Thursday morning, I'm fine. After 2 weeks, of despair, a little blue vitamin D pill brought me back. When you have the opportunity, look up vitamin D deficiency and some of the things it can do to your mind. They're exact same thing as depression, possibly. Particularly in somebody who already suffers from it. Again, I was compelled to advise the church. I gained your prayer, your power, your thoughts, your cards. And the last thing that happened was that particular night, I couldn't sleep. I read a whole novel. It was probably 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd had it. I was so exhausted. And I had a gut-wrenching, pleading prayer. I prayed like I've never prayed in my life. I wept. I sang. Teresa, fortunately, was sleeping downstairs that night, so she got to miss out on all that. I kept throwing in it, in Jesus' name, amen, every 3 or 4 minutes because I didn't want to fall asleep in the middle of that prayer and not sign it in. I wanted to make sure it went through. So I threw too much at it. What worked? I don't know. Who cares? I'm better. I am a little tired. I don't care what worked, but I know for a fact that one of the biggest things that worked was reaching out to you. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, and 16 and 18, it says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This problem for me, your own problems, the things that you go through in your life, your difficulties, your heartache, your sorrow, they'll all be worth it. Just stay on the path. You know, that was one thing that I kept drawing on over and over when things were as bad as they were, that I knew that it would eventually be over. I could remember just a few days back where I was seemingly perfectly fine, happy and full of energy and my normal, crazy, hard-to-understand self. I knew it was going to be over, and I knew it would be worth it if I just held on. Take peace in knowing that your trials that you're thrown here in life will all be rewarded. Knowing that every day as we get closer to drawing our last breath, someday we'll be rewarded and it will all be worth it. I know I've said this up here before, and I don't want to be all corny, but I love you guys. You're just the most awesome group of people, and I love being in this congregation. I love coming back home. You know, we were gone for almost 20 years. I was always from Iowa. You're a great group of people, and I think my whole purpose this morning is just to make sure that you pay attention to those around you. More than anything else, pay attention. It might not be depression. It could be something else. But don't, and I'm not saying you did this with me. Please don't think that. But don't let those people go unloved. Don't let them go unnoticed. Don't be afraid to raise a helping hand, even if they resist it. They're probably going to be touched by it. So with that in mind, I'll draw that to a close. I'm really sorry I was Debbie Downer this morning, or whatever the male equivalent is. But I was compelled to speak to you about this morning. I kept coming back to it, and, well, it's finished. At this time, we'll offer the gospel invitation to those who have needs, you would need to be baptized and join this church, or if you have sins that need to be acknowledged and forgiven before this congregation, please come forward while we stand and sing.